Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to another edition of Rural Route, to the program where we gather every day at this time. Well, we do it Monday through Friday anyway. And what we do when we gather is continue to address the issues between food production and food consumption. Joining us from Dallas, Texas, none other than our own resident, Jay Truitt.
How's Jay?
Good. I'm doing well, I think. It's I think we're going to have a beautiful day in Texas today. I am in Texas since most of the people in Washington, D.C. are gone this week. I don't have to make my run up there this week, looks like. So, woohoo! Big win.
I literally don't know how people keep going there. How do you walk into the middle of insanity and believe that you're going to provide a little logic for the day?
You know, I will say this, and here's something that's so number one, I have a grandkids, you know, that live there, and generically in that area, and so I have kind of a different incentive. But even with that said, increasingly, I limit my time in the district just to the meetings. And I will say this, it used to be a place that, and maybe this is, maybe I changed, right, as well. It used to be a place where I enjoyed working there about as much as a person could. And I enjoyed it not only because I work with some really great people for most of the time that I spent full time in Washington, D.C. I really did work with just literally some of the salt of the earth people in the world, and some people that are still the closest friends that I have. I worked in a circle on Capitol Hill that people really cared about the matters that we all were focused on. And with that said, even some of the people that on the nuances of how policy got done, or even on what policy positions would be, where we were opposites and actually opponents on issues, there are some people in agriculture that have the exact opposite view of how it should work as what I do generically, and the people that I've always represented. They were good people, right? And we got along well. We could sit down and have coffee, and we could always laugh, you know, about, you know, things of history, et cetera, et cetera. And I've told people this many, many times. Tom Bias, who has gone on to do some work inside the renewable fuels industry now, but for years was head of the National Farmers Union, was their chief lobbyist, and kind of ran things. And Tom Bias gave me about as much advice on just how to work inside the town, et cetera, et cetera. He and I almost always were on opposite sides of issues, or at least had really significant nuanced differences that we had to address. But I never doubted his character, honestly. And I never doubted what he was really about. I always knew that when he said he worked for farmers, there wasn't a question about it, right? I didn't feel like I was ever being tested, or that he needed to be tested on that. His motivations were 100% real. And today that's a lot of that is gone. And people are kind of going through the motions, and you see a little bit of a different, well, you see a dramatically different culture in a lot of places. You still find those same kind of motivated people that are pure, et cetera, but it's just not the same. So I try to limit my time period down to showing up before the meeting and departing after the meeting is over. And I used to spend most of my days, you know, kind of socializing with people and trying to work through issues. It's almost impossible to do that today in the same way. You can do it, but it's a much more difficult place to work. The environment is hostile. People either want you to be 100% in or they want you to get out. And that used to the I can give you dozens of issue matters, where I would have sharp disagreements with people, and we still remain friends. And that's getting really difficult to do. And it's a really sad dynamic. And it
So,
shows.
to
It
that point,
shows
Jay,
in the process.
I can't count on two hands the number of people that I personally know that I knew before they went to some role in either the House or the Senate in D.C. They're not the same person. I don't understand how every single person I know, which tells me every person goes to DC and they become some new person. How and why?
So I will also say this, and this gets to be maybe more than what people want to talk about, but I left because I could feel that the town for sure was doing something different to my soul. And I never was one of those guys that so I wasn't that man that chased skirts. I don't overindulge in alcohol or entertainment or all those sorts of things, right? None of those were the kind of temptations for me, but it was obvious to me that there's just the darkness that does kind of float around in that city as well. And I kept finding myself coming in contact with it. And I just wanted to be gone from it most of the time. And so that's the reason that I relocated where I live. I still work there a reasonable amount of time, and I spend, many hours a week on the phone with people that work there full time. But here's something else that's increasingly interesting. I spent, 2 hours yesterday on a phone call with two of the largest law firms in Washington, D.C., on an issue matter that's being addressed. I think I was the only non-lobbyist or the only non-lawyer, practicing lawyer that was on the call. None of them were working from their office. And both of them have, I mean, wonderful, beautiful, scenic office locations. None of them were working from their office. And I think, now this is just me guessing, I think if you had to ask them all, they just don't want to be in the city either. And so they're all doing a Zoom call from their home office or their locations on the outskirts. All of them still live basically, right there in the immediate area. I'm sure I was the farthest away by far. But you see a lot of that. And you know what? That's not healthy either. Because back to that Tom Bias discussion that I was talking about, part of what made that work was Tom would just come to my office and we would sit down and I would do the same. And we would sit down, the old proverbial, we'd sit and we'd break bread, we'd have a conversation, we'd drink a couple of cups of coffee, we'd agree to disagree about things, and then we would discuss ways that, we could find something to work together on too, so that we could magnify our own efforts. Both of us still interested in winning. We're both super competitive people that wanted to win every time. And it was that's gone. There's something about in-person interactive conversations, right, that are just different than all the rest of these great medias that we have. My granddaughter, who's in that area, loves to FaceTime me almost every day. She does at some point just to tell me something, right? Look, granddad, I have a new scrunchie in my hair, right? She's 3 years old. So those are the conversations that we have, but it's not the same as holding
Yeah.
her, you know, and talking to her.
The
So
fact that you know what a scrunchie is proves that that actually happens. Jay Truett, Rural Route. We'll be back with segment two after this.
Part of the farm energy free waters separate themselves because, well, number one, they're made in the United States. The company is owned by the United States, and it has been years of technology to master this energy free system. It works all over the U.S. and Canada. If you want to have a problem free livestock water, I strongly suggest, because we have 17. I'm not just making light of this. We have 17 of these. I know the pitfalls. I know how they work. The quirks are very minimal. A little bit of management when it gets warmer or cooler, and boom, they work on their own. Well worth the money. More details about the energy-free waters from Pride of the Farm on the web, prideofthefarm.com.